On this fourth Sunday of Advent, we hear from the first chapter of Luke's Gospel. Typically in church, I mostly use a translation of the Bible known as the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. However, today I switched over to a more contemporary translation called The Message, which is the Bible written in contemporary language. The Message is really useful for people who want to go through the Bible and read books of it with speed, as if they were reading a modern contemporary novel. And the reason that The Message is sometimes helpful or interesting to us is because it allows us to see what some of these interesting scenes look like as if they were to take place among people today. What would the language sound like? How would the dialogue go? Particularly if we're dealing with a scene that is somewhat fantastical or difficult to believe or wrap our heads around. And the story that we come to today is one such of those stories. In the first chapter of Luke, we hear of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, telling her what is about to transpire. And it's an extremely powerful story because Mary is just this teenage girl. She's betrothed to a man that she's about to marry, Joseph. And here she has this visitation, this angel who comes to her to tell her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and the child that she will bear will be the savior of the world. Of course, imagine being a 13-year-old girl receiving this message in this particular time and place and historical context where a 13-year-old girl didn't have all that much agency, power, or authority. In an extremely patriarchal society where men ruled, where young women, not to mention all women in general, were second-class citizens. Not only does Gabriel tell Mary that she will bear a child, but also her cousin Elizabeth will as well. Elizabeth, the one who everyone had believed to be barren, and now she too will bear a son who will take part in this drama of the salvation of the world. And so Mary responds to all of this by saying, "Yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." Then the angel left her. I think that this one word at the beginning of Mary's response is so critical. "Yes," she says. Mary was essentially given a choice. Mary could have said, "No, I don't want to have a part in this." But instead, Mary opens herself up to participation in this extremely important and holy moment. She says, "Yes, I see it all now." The agency of Mary is a theological concept that theologians for centuries have debated. Could Mary have said no, or did Mary have a choice, or what was Mary's agency in this entire discussion? And the reason that it's important is because it shapes who we know God to be. God was coming to Mary and was presenting her with really a choice. God was not exercising, in my opinion, power over her or dominion over her or forcing her to do something that she did not want to do with her physical being. I believe God is compassionate and benevolent and loving and compassionate, and therefore my understanding is that God came to Mary and asked her if she wanted to participate in the salvation of the world. So today, as we come ever closer to Christmas, we celebrate Mary and we celebrate Elizabeth. And with them, we celebrate all of the fierce women who transform our world. Mary was just the beginning to centuries upon centuries of women who have shaped and transformed this world. And to them, we are all grateful. If we were in our sanctuary today on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we would light the fourth Advent candle on our Advent wreath. The fourth candle is the candle of peace. The first is hope, the second is love, the third joy, and the fourth peace. And the only remaining unlit Advent candle would be our center white Christ candle. That's the candle that we will light together this week on Zoom virtually as we come together to celebrate the most holy story of them all at 8 p.m. on December 24th. The Zoom link is in the PDF for this week, so I hope you will all join us for a telling of the Christmas story, for communion, and for time together amidst this season of uncertainty and isolation. As I mentioned last week, we will celebrate communion together virtually, and so I invite you to bring your own communion elements. This can be virtually anything that you want. It can be saltine crackers and grape juice. It can be cookies and tea. It can be whatever you want to celebrate communion with yourself and with those who are with you and in your household. There's also another occasion that would be coming up at the church in a traditional year, and that's our longest night service. This one is really one of my favorites, and it's something that we've been doing now for the past 3 years. The longest night will come on December 21st, which this year is Monday. And the longest night is, as we know it, called the winter solstice. Or it also goes by its other name, the hibernal solstice, or the longest night, or in some places, simply midwinter. But no matter what term you use to refer to the event, it's all the same. The northern pole of the earth will find itself with the greatest maximum tilt away from the sun, leading to have the sun have its lowest daily maximum elevation in the sky. It will be our longest night and our shortest day. In some churches, including ours, we have a tradition of marking this event with a service, which acknowledges the pain and challenge of this season to those who have just experienced loss. And it's not just for those who have recently experienced loss, but it's for all of us. For all of us who might also have a bit of melancholy associated with a season that we're told to be happy, that we're told to be social. A season where we see people around us engaging in such intense holiday fanfare, and where we might see this and feel that we're not quite at that place. This service is for those people. And so I wanted to just give a moment to acknowledge that the longest night is coming this week, and that even though we are not in our sanctuary, that we are still in solidarity with all of those who struggle with this season. And one of the things that's unique about this year is that the Blue Christmas service is really for every single one of us. Despite a global pandemic, Christmas is coming. The Christ child will come no matter what we do or what we don't do. And all of us have experienced loss this year. Some more than others, but I think it's safe to say that all of us have experienced loss this year. And all of us can find comfort in knowing that that lingering feeling of loneliness that haunts us is something that is normal and is okay and is something that most of us are feeling right now. Jesus didn't come into the world 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem because everything was going so well. He came rather for the opposite reason, because everything was so messed up. And Jesus will come into our lives no matter if we have it all figured out or if we can barely get out of bed. Jesus is breaking into this world for everyone. God's love is an inclusive one, and no one is ever to think that they don't count or that they are outside of it. The light of the world that is the Christ child is a light that comes to shine in every life with no exceptions. And this place, I would usually say, referring to our church and our sanctuary, but now this year, this place means something much different. We've taken church virtually, and we're a community which stretch across many states and many cities and many countries now. Our congregation has expanded. So when I say this place, I'm referring to this community that we have established. In addition to our physical location at 1216 Cave Street, this place is where you can come to be your most authentic self. In all honesty, in all imperfection, in all of the wonderful things that make you, you. There are no exceptions, no matter what is going on in the world or what form our worship has to take. The Christ child is still breaking into this world, and this year we need that more than ever before. So next year, it's my prayer that we will be together on Blue Christmas, that we will be grateful for the ways in which we've moved past this extremely challenging year. The losses of this year will still be lingering. The losses that come from life will continue to happen to us, but we will know yet again that we can make it through to the other side, that we past the year 2020, that Christ came into our lives, that our community continued to thrive, that the church continued to be vibrant, and that no matter what happens or what comes our way, that is a promise that will continue to be true. So I look forward to seeing you on Christmas Eve, and I pray that you all continue to stay well and healthy. Until then, may it be so. Amen.